Thank you very much. I was telling the people in the first service that I was preaching in a conference yesterday, and I strained my voice, and so I thought it would be great. I was eager to come and preach this morning, but blew up my voice in a conference yesterday. But we are grateful to the Lord because we had a number of people that gave their lives to Jesus, and so we give thanks to Him. When my voice returns next week, I'll be excited to be here again. As you heard, Pastor Walker is out, and he asked me to take a series for 2 weeks on the end time events, which we're going to be looking at today. We won't be able to look at all the events in detail, but we shall be able to look at the overview and be able to narrow down to one of the events, which is the rapture, which is the first event to take place before the second coming of the Lord. So let us pray together before we turn to God's word this morning. Father, we bless your name. We love you and we appreciate you for today. Thank you for your word as it comes to us. We ask that, God, it shall come with simplicity and clarity, that you bless us, Heavenly Father, to give us direction about what is soon to take place. And so we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So please follow me closely, because I will not be able to raise my voice as much as I could, but I want to explain these things to you, and after we are done, I'll sort of narrow down and also give you a chance to ask questions which might be upon your heart this morning on the subject of the end time events. We had intended to make this in a pictorial format, but there's too much lighting, and so it is hindering the clarity of the figure that is before us this morning. I want us to understand in a general overview that these are the events which are going to take place before the coming of the Lord. Jesus came the first time, which is called the first advent, which means the first coming. There is now going to come the second coming of Jesus Christ. In that second coming, there are two major events. There is a coming in the air, which is the first coming of the second coming, and there is a second coming when he is coming back to touch down on the earth. The first time that he comes during the time for rapture, he does not reach the ground of the earth, but rather that he comes in the air and the saints are raptured to connect with him in the air. So what will happen first is that Christ came the first time when he came to be born in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Now he went back at the time of his ascension. After going back at the time of his ascension, we are now in what is called a church age, or the period of the church. Between now and the second coming of Jesus, we are in the church age. So the event which is remaining now is the second coming of Jesus Christ. It is a major event. It is the most important event which is going to close the whole entire age and usher in eternity. But before that event comes, there's going to be a series of what we call signs or pointers to the end times. These are the end times in the sense that there are some signals or signs or events which are a pointer. Now, a sign is only a pointer. It's not a destination. When you are seeing a road sign, it tells you the direction where that city is. It does not tell you that's where you are. So a sign is a pointer which tells you that the end time is about to happen. So we are in that age. When all the signs have been accomplished or have been achieved or have happened, when that last event has occurred, then rapture is going to strike. Now, rapture is not a biblical word, but it is a word to describe biblical event. Just like the word Bible is not in the Bible. The word Trinity is not in the Bible. But they are useful terminologies that are helping us to understand that these are describing the Word of God, or they are describing proper events in the Word of God that are going to occur. So when the last event has happened, when the last sign has been accomplished, then there's going to come a rapture. Rapture is taken from the Latin word called rapele or rapio, or in Greek called harpazo, which means to be snatched or to be grabbed or to be taken away quickly within the twinkling of an eye. So when those signs have been accomplished, there's going to come a rapture. I'll talk more about the rapture because that's the theme for my sharing this morning. During the time for rapture, Christ comes in the air, and the Christians are zapped like a magnet. When you put it on top of the iron pieces, there's a particular distance which is critical at which the power of the magnet is going to attract those iron pieces to get to hook to the magnet. Christ, at the time of rapture, does not come on the earth as he did the first time and as he does the second time. At the time of rapture, he comes in the air at a particular distance, then we shall be zapped. That is what is called raptured, to connect with Jesus. So Christ does not come on the earth at rapture time. He connects all the believers, and there is a judgment, Bema judgment seat of Christ. At the Bema judgment seat of Christ, that's the judgment of the believers. It is happening in heaven. We are going to talk more about the Bema judgment seat of Christ next Sunday. At the Bema judgment seat of Christ, it's not for judgment of the believers. It is a reward time for the believers. It is not a judicial bench. It is the Bema, which means a reward seat. After the Bema judgment seat of Christ, the believers will be taken to the marriage supper of the Lamb. At the marriage supper of the Lamb, the believers have a reception. At the time for the reception, there is a formal wedding between the church and Jesus Christ. You hear today, with this ring, I wed you, my pure love I give to you. All other worldly goods I share to you. And to this end, I give you my promise. At the wedding supper of the Lamb, Jesus Christ is going to be officially married to us. And at that point, it's going to come soon after the Bema judgment seat of Christ. When the believers are in heaven after rapture, there will be a 7-year period. Those 7 years, there will be no believers here on earth, because the Christians will have been raptured. After being raptured, there's going to be a period of 7 years here on earth called the tribulation. The first 3.5 years, there will be the tribulation. The second 3.5 years, which makes the 7 years, it will be called the Great Tribulation, which means that the pain of the first 3.5 years will be different or will become worse in the second 3.5 years. Things won't become better, they become worse. That's a Great Tribulation. The period is 7 years. It's not figurative. This is the actual 7 years period. So while the believers are in heaven, the earth, the world here, will be going through the 7 years of tribulation. At the end of the Great Tribulation, Jesus Christ will have finished the marriage supper of the Lamb, and will come down with the believers physically to touch down on the earth. As he comes down to touch down on the earth, he's going to come with the armies of heaven. We're together with the Christians. So when Christ comes at the second time proper, the rapture is the first coming of the second coming. The second time proper, Jesus is going to touch down on the earth. But at that time, he's going to come with Christians. Having been raptured, staying in heaven for 7 years, now we come down with Jesus. At that time of coming, we'll come down with Jesus. We shall also come down with the armies of God, with the angels of God. When he came for the first time, he didn't come with judgment. When he came the first time, he didn't come as a judge. But when he comes the second time, he's going to come as a judge. So he'll come with the believers from heaven. And upon touching down upon the earth, there's going to be the great battle. That battle is called the Battle of the Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon is not the Third World War. The Third World War is not going to be between the armies of God and the armies of this world. That's the Battle of Armageddon. If there's going to be the Third World War, it's going to be the war between nations. But the Battle of Armageddon, listen please, is between the armies of this world and the armies of God. So what will happen at the second coming of Christ, he's going to come now as a judge. What will happen is that in the time of the Great Tribulation, the world will be forming alliances or forming groupings that's going to form one global union or one global army. That global army is the one now which is going to be the one fighting the armies of God. So the Battle of Armageddon is going to be the climax between the armies of God and the armies of this world. So all the arms, all the military artillery and the military weapons of this world, they'll be fighting against the armies of God at the Battle of Armageddon. But God is going to overcome at the Battle of Armageddon. And at that point, the devil will be bound and thrown in the bottomless pit. When the devil is thrown in the bottomless pit, there will be a start of the period called the millennium. The millennium is a period of 1,000 years. The 1,000 years, Christ is going to be ruling here on earth and also establishing his perfect kingdom for 1,000 years to give an example of good biblical leadership of government. Within that time, we are going to be judging or ruling with Christ. At the end of the 1,000 years, the devil is going to be released for a short period of time in order to test the people, to test the world again, so that the people can have the last chance of being tempted by the devil. During the 1,000 years, the devil is not going to be working in this world. He's going to be bound in the bottomless pit. At the end of the 1,000 years, the devil is released for a moment. After being released for a moment, then the Lord enters what is called the white throne judgment. At the white throne judgment, which you can see on the scales there, the white one towards the star there. The white throne judgment is now going to be the final judgment at which all the inhabitants of the earth will be brought before the judgment of God. At the white throne judgment, all the people of the world, great and small, the powerful, the weaker, the rulers, and everybody will be brought before the judgment of God. At that point, the people will be judged with a view to knowing whether they've believed God or not. At that point, they shall be, the nations of this world are going to be judged as well. That judgment is going to end the people into eternal destiny, which is either they go to hell or they go to heaven. At that point, it's a point of no return. There's no second chance. There will not be a second chance after the great white throne judgment. It is an open door for eternity. Where are you going to enter? Into your eternal life or into eternal destruction? So these are the events which are going to occur in the any time from now. When the rapture comes, then the events are going to be in a quick succession. Now, I'm going to read for you a number of scriptures quickly, just by virtue of just making reference to them. Because my voice is not right, I'll just refer to some scriptures, but I'm going to read one portion of scripture. I'll ask Pastor William later to come and read for me one portion of scripture which is key about rapture. Now, I want us to understand that rapture is taken from the Greek word called rapele or hapazo or rapio, which means to snatch or to grab or to get the people zapped from the face of the earth. There are some verses that help us to understand rapture in the Word of God. One of them is Matthew 24, verse 42 to 44. Matthew 24, verse 42 to verse 44. Or Matthew 24, verse 36 to verse 39. Just write them down. We won't refer to them this morning. Matthew 25 and verse 13. Matthew 24, which I read about, the Bible says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the householder had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Matthew 24, verse 50, the Bible says, "The master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know." Matthew 25 and verse 13. "Watch therefore," the Bible says, "for you know neither the day nor the hour." Is that okay? Can I have a little bit more? That's fine. Thank you. Mark 13 and verse 32, the Bible says, "But of that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father knows. Take heed therefore," the Bible says, "watch, for you do not know when the time will come." 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 2, the Bible says, "For you yourselves know well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." It will come suddenly like a thief in the night. You won't expect it. Also, 1 Peter 4 and verse 7. 1 Peter 4 and verse 7. The Bible says, "And the end of all things is at hand." And the end of all things is at hand. Also, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. And then the heavens will pass away with a loud voice. And the elements will be dissolved. And the earth and all the works that are upon it will be burnt up." Also, Revelation 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, "The time is near." Revelation 22 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Behold, I am coming soon." Behold, I am coming soon. Before rapture takes place, the Bible has mentioned a number of signs or pointers. Please listen closely. These signs, as they take place, as they occur, they won't all take place at the same time. Some signs are already in the process, but some signs are yet to be accomplished or to occur. Some of these signs, there'll be one last sign, which is going to be the terminal sign. When that happens, then rapture is going to take place. Number one, the gospel must be preached to all the nations. One of the signs of the coming of Jesus is that the preaching of the gospel must be done to all the nations, which means everybody must hear the voice of God. Everybody must receive the word of God. Everybody must hear the word of God before the coming of Jesus Christ. There are still many nations where the Bible has not been preached, where the word of God has not gone. There are still more than 280 languages in the world that have not heard, that have not had the Bible in their language. People say it might take more than 200 years to translate the Bible in the remaining 280 languages. So first of all, before the Lord comes, the gospel must be preached into all the nations, including countries where the preaching of the gospel has been prohibited, such as Iraq, Iran, or Russia, or China, or Pakistan, and all the areas in the world where the gospel has been banned. In those areas, the gospel is going to be preached, and the doors of God are going to be opened for the preaching of the gospel. Number two, there's going to be global disasters of very high magnitudes. The Bible, in the passages we have read, particularly the book of Matthew chapter 24, when you read Matthew 24, you see a number of signs before the end of the world. I urge you, please, when you go to your room tonight or this afternoon, go and read Matthew 24 about the signs of the coming of Jesus. In that passage of scripture, we hear of famines, which means hunger. You hear of wars or rumors of wars. We hear of earthquakes or floods or droughts or hurricanes or untreatable diseases or epidemics and pandemics. You hear of volcanoes. All these are a pointer towards the coming of Jesus Christ. And when you see this happening in quick succession, the Bible says, then know that the end is near. It is not yet, but it is near. It is a pointer. As I am talking to you right now, these are things that are happening all over the world in quick succession. But when one last sign has happened, then rapture suddenly is going to occur. Number three, there are going to be false prophets or false teachers. These are preachers of the gospel who are going to be preaching heresies or false teaching. They are going to be showing themselves to be the true Christ, but they are not the true Christ. They are only a pointer. But when we see these false prophets or false Christ coming, they are a pointer that the true Christ is about to come. So there will be false prophets who will be performing wonders, who will be performing miracles. These are meant to deceive people, so that even as the Bible says, even the people who are born again, even the true believers, can be led astray by believing false teachers or false prophets. They will come performing wonders, but they are not the true preachers of the gospel. Number five, there are a number of signs that are highlighted in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, in your private time this afternoon, I urge you, please, read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 to 13. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to 13. But verse 1, the Bible says, perilous times are coming. Before the coming of Jesus Christ, perilous times will come. Let not anybody deceive you. When I listen to the politicians that things are going to become better, I just laugh, because before the coming of Jesus, things don't become better, they become worse. The Bible says, before the coming of Jesus, perilous times will come. Perilous times means hard times will come. A politician won't have an answer. An economist won't have an answer. There is nobody's going to have an answer towards the end of time, because the Bible says in verse 1 of 2 Timothy 3, the Bible says, before the coming of the Son of Man, perilous times will come. Look at verse 2. Men shall be lovers of themselves, which means they shall be proud, they shall be covetous, they shall be boastful, they shall be blasphemous, they shall be disobedient, they shall be unholy, and they shall be unthankful. So towards the end time, listen, people of God, men shall be lovers of themselves. There shall be high levels of pride, blaspheme, covetousness, boastfulness, and disobedience, and holiness, and unthankfulness. At the middle of the word sin is a letter I. At the middle of the word pride is a letter I. Before the end of time, there shall be so much self-centeredness among men. And this is seen in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. Verse 3 says, people will have no natural affection, which means there shall be an unnatural affection. There's going to be men marrying men and women marrying women. And there shall be same-sex relationships. The natural affection will cease. People will love animals more than human beings. When you kill an animal, you can go to jail. But when you carry out an abortion, it's your right. So there'll be a shifting where the people will not have a natural love for humanity, but they shall be loving animals. I saw in the UK at one time that when a number of cats had been run over by cars, it was news on television. It was news in the newspapers, because a number of animals had been crushed by some motorists. But listen, towards the end times, people will not love people. They will love animals. They will not love the natural things that God has put in place. But this is going to be a sign that the end is about to come. But the natural affection for humanity is going to cease. There shall be no self-restraint. In other words, people will be doing things as they please. And please understand, at the time of Noah, people did whatever seems right in their own eyes. And towards the end, a sense of humanism, a sense of human rights is going to increase in order to give people more self-interest, so that it is in your power to make a decision, it is in your power to do whatever you want. And the Bible says in Israel, when there was no king, people did whatever they seemed right in their own eyes. Verse 4. People become traitors, which means they are going to sell one another. They're going to release some private information about another person, about a friend. So towards the end, people will be betraying one another. There will be no close relationships that are going to stand. Please understand that people become headstrong. Whatever they think, they will do. So whatever they feel like doing, nobody is going to stop them, because the issues of rights is going to come very strongly. Verse 5, the Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So people will have a form of religion. They can come to church, they can read the Bible, they can pray, but it will only be religion. They will not be able to accept the power that is going to take them away from sin, taking them away from wrongdoing, taking them away from worship of the devil. They will have a religion, but without the power that is in the word of God. So verse 5 says, having a form of religion, but denying the power thereof, the Bible says, from such people, turn away. Verse 6, the Bible says, silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lust. Oh, the beauty contest you are hearing today, there is nothing beauty about them but nudity. It is an exposure of the privacy of these individual young ladies. And if you see the adverts, they are all pointing to feminism. In other words, they are a pointer towards using women as a sexual tool. You find people that are advertising a motor vehicle that is a new brand on the market. They don't advertise a vehicle, but they advertise a naked woman, and they will show a car for it. Listen, people of God, they are going to use more women as a way to seduce people. This is a pointer towards the fact that towards the end, things are going to become worse. Verse 7, the Bible says, ever learning and yet never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, so it means they can go to school, they can pile up books, they can increase degrees, they can come to church every Sunday, listen to some preaching taking place, they will always learn, but nothing is changing. There is nothing to show that you are internalizing, and there is a shifting in the way you are doing things as a result of your learning. Towards the end time, the Bible says people will be ever learning but never coming to the truth. It will be knowledge without praxis. Verse 13, look at that. Verse 13, the Bible says, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. Bad men towards the end of time don't become better. Don't deceive yourself that anybody is going to think that, well, as time goes by, people are going to become better. They will not become better. As time goes by, the Bible says, if the period for the tribulation was not shortened, even the believers were going to be led astray. Towards the end time, one of the signs is that the strength of many waxes cold. In other words, there are those of us who have believed, but towards the end of time, whatever we have believed, you become weaker in your faith. You slow down, you backslide. One of the signs of the end times is that before the coming of the Lord, there is a mighty backsliding. Many people are led astray. The power of the word of God is not coming alive anymore. The joy, the expectation, the interest that comes as a result of coming to church does not appeal to people anymore. So towards the end, guess what? Many people are backsliding. So people don't become better towards the coming of Jesus. They become worse. And the Bible says the love of many is going to be waxing cold. So don't be deceived. When you hear politicians that next year things will be better, I want to pray for them. I want to pray for the nation. I do that every day with my staff in the morning, every Monday, every Friday. We meet together to pray for this nation, to trust God that things can be better. But one of the biblical signs of the end time events is that things don't become better. Because the Bible in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1 to 13 says, towards the end times, perilous times will come. That doesn't mean we shouldn't pray. That is fatalism. But we pray because we want to allow the preaching of the gospel. We want to allow the word of God that in the midst of pain and calamity, the people of God can be able to interpret whatever is happening in the light of the explanation of the word of God. So you see all these signs in 2 Timothy 3 verse 1 to 13 that there's going to be deceiving and people are going to be deceived. Number 6. The salvation of Israel is going to occur. One of the things that have happened is that from the coming of Jesus Christ, the first time that he came, Israel has not believed in Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Israel still is looking for a Messiah. The people of Israel are still looking for a Savior. The Bible in John 1 verse 12, the Bible says Christ went to his own, but his own did not receive him. He was rejected by his own people because as far as the people of Israel are concerned, they are still looking for a Messiah. They are still looking for a Savior. But towards the end of time, before rapture takes place, one of the key events is that towards the end, many people of Israel, many Jews are going to turn to Christ. There's going to be a great preaching of the gospel among the Jewish people to the extent that the Bible says the remnant shall be saved. Glory to God. That remnant shall be saved. So when more Jews are going to turn to Christ, at that point, these will be some of the pointers to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Let me run with you, please, a number of things just to let you understand that rapture is just about to happen. It might happen any time. The Bible says, within the twinkling of an eye, which means you won't be able to set out the year, to set out the decade, to set out the month. You can't tell the week, you can't tell the day, you can't tell the hour, you can't tell when that is going to happen. The Bible says within the twinkling of an eye it will come. Listen to this. Enoch, number one, Enoch was one of the people that was translated in the Old Testament. In Genesis 5 and verse 24, the Bible says Enoch was not, and God took him because he was found faithful, or because he was righteous, or he was acceptable in the sight of God. And so because of his faithfulness to God, God took him. Enoch didn't die facing death. He was taken from the earth and into glory without death. So rapture is about people being taken alive into the presence of God. Enoch was taken alive. Number two, Elijah in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 11. 2 Kings 2 and verse 11. 2 Kings 2 and verse 11. The Bible talks about Elijah. Elijah had been taken in a chariot of fire. When that chariot came, and of the fire, he was wheeled by the chariot into glory without having to die. So these are the pictures in the Word of God where you see people being raptured or being taken alive into the presence of God. Number three, Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. Chapter 1 and verse 9, we see Jesus, after he had died and rose again from the dead, the Bible says, in full view of everybody, Christ was being taken into glory. As he was being taken into glory, against the forces of gravity, if you throw anything in the air, because of the power of gravity, these things fall to the ground again. But we see how Enoch was able to go to heaven, alive without death. Elijah was able to go to heaven alive without seeing death. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says the angels, when they saw the disciples getting to wonder about what they were seeing, they said to the disciples, in the same way that you see him go up, you're going to see him coming down again. So Jesus was the third person who was going into glory by what you might call rapture. Number four, there is Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 24. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 24. Paul is saying, he was taken into the third heaven. In other words, he was raptured and taken into heaven, where he saw things which the Bible says he couldn't be able to explain. Listen, people of God, when the rapture is going to occur, it shall be against the forces of gravity. So Paul was able to get into the third heaven by the power of God. When you read number 5, you read in Revelation 11 and verse 3 and 12. Revelation chapter 11, verse 3 and 12. It talks about two witnesses. These witnesses are the preachers or prophets who are coming during the time of the great tribulation. When the church is in heaven, there's going to come some two preachers or two prophets who are going to be preaching the gospel of Jesus and performing a great number of miracles. At the end of their preaching, at the end of their 7 years, they are going to be taken up into glory alive. It's another form of rapture. Now, I want us to understand something. Please know there are three views or theories or doctrines of rapture. There are those who believe that rapture is going to take place at the end of the tribulation, which means that the church, you and I, are going to go through tribulation. And at the end of the tribulation, then rapture will take place. Now, that view is not correct, because it is giving us an idea that believers are going to be judged alongside non-believers before they can be taken up into heaven. God cannot judge the righteous together with the unrighteous. So he's not going to allow that the believers go through the tribulation, because it is a hard time, it is a painless time, it's a painful time. There's going to be a lot of pain. God won't allow that his people go through tribulation. But people who have got that view are saying the reason for the believers to go through tribulation, it is so that they can be purified and be ready for heaven. I have news for these people. You don't get to be purified by going through pain. Your faith can be strengthened. But for you to enter heaven, you don't get purified by going through tribulation. You get purified by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the one that cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's not tribulation. It's not pain. It's not calamity. It's not suffering. Suffering and pain and calamity or whatever disasters can strengthen your faith, but cannot be the basis for you to enter heaven. You can suffer no matter how. If you haven't believed upon Jesus Christ, you will die and go to hell. So believers will not go through the tribulation, as these people suppose. There is another theory which says believers, out of the 7 years of the tribulation, believers are going to be in the tribulation for half the time, which means for the first 3.5 years. On the middle of the 7 years, then the believers are going to be snatched and go into heaven. They believe that it is important that Christians can go through pain, just to give them an idea of how painful it is. So in order to deliver them, they must not go through the whole period. So it's just like halftime of the football match. So after halftime, then they can be raptured. But listen, people of God, when you read the scriptures, there is no biblical basis for the rapture at the end of tribulation. There is no biblical basis for the rapture at the middle of the tribulation. However, there is a third principle, which is called the pre-tribulation rapture, which means rapture taking place before tribulation. So before tribulation starts, the Christians will have been snatched out from the planet Earth into glory. That is what is biblical. So that's good news for you now. If you are afraid of going through pain and you are a child of God, I want to give you a positive assurance. There is no place in the Word of God where Christians are going through tribulation in order for them to qualify to enter the kingdom of God. I've got two examples from the Word of God. During the time of Noah, Bible, God used Noah to proclaim the message, to proclaim the warnings to the people, that the people must repent and turn to Christ and turn to God. And failure to doing so, the Bible warned there was going to be a flood. That flood was a judgment upon the non-believers by the hand of God. Now listen, the great flood at the time of Noah was not for the believers. It was for the non-believers, the workers of iniquity. And this is why when Noah was building an ark, it was for the salvation of those that believe. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ is the ark for those that believe. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever shall believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the ark in the time of Noah was for the purpose of getting the believers. You draw them into the ark so that the ark was locked. And therefore, when Noah and his wife and his children and their wives were all secure away from the world, that's when the rains started dropping and falling. So what you see there is that before there can be the judgment of God, God is going to gather his people, bring them to safety. Then the judgment of God is going to come. A second example, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. It was a story of sin. It was a judgment of God against people who are practicing homosexual relationship. The problem of Sodom and Gomorrah was gay relationship. What you see today has happened before, and God has judged before. If anybody is going to stand in Zambia today and say and think that same-sex relationships are a reflection and an exercise of human rights, they are sinning against God, they are drawing the judgment of God. What happened? The Bible says, Lot and his wife and his two daughters, God told them to say, you must leave here and get to safety, because God wanted to bring judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin. God had to deliver Lot and his wife and his two daughters out from Sodom and Gomorrah. That's when God sent the judgment upon those two great cities. And this was the problem that Abraham had with God. Abraham kept saying to God, are you going to destroy the righteous people and the ungodly? God said, no, I'll not do that. I'm going to spare the righteous. I'll destroy the ungodly. And Abraham went on several times to say, God, what if you find 50 people? Are you going to destroy the 50 people together with the ungodly? God said, no, if there are going to be 50 people, I'll not destroy the sinners together with the ungodly. And Abraham went down further. How about if you're going to find 30 people? Are you going to destroy the people that have sinned, that have sinned against you, together with the 30? And God said, if there'll be 30, I'll spare the city. So the idea here is that God is not willing to destroy any of his people together with the ungodly. He will always spare the godly people from his judgment. The only time when that happened, God was able to draw out Lot and his wife and the two daughters out from Sodom and Gomorrah when they were out of the city. In fact, when you read the story, go and read the book of Genesis 18. When you read the story, you see there that in fact the angels of God literally had to grab Lot and his wife and daughters to say, get out of here quickly, because I can't do anything until you get out of here. So listen, people of God, what is restraining the hand of God right now are the people of God. Once the people of God have been raptured, then the end will come. There will be nothing restraining God from judging this world. So this is where you find the basis for the pre-tribulation rapture. Pre means before. So it's a rapture which comes before tribulation. This is biblical. Now I want us to read Matthew 24 and verse 36 to verse 42. I'm going to ask Pastor William just to help us to read through that passage of scripture. I want you to follow closely and just understand how rapture will take place. I'm going to explain it very quickly. 36 to 42.
Matthew chapter 24. Read from verse 36 up to 44. The Bible reads, I'm reading from the NIV. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. 38. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. 40. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. This is interesting. Two women will be grinding with the handmill. One will be taken and the other left. 42. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day our Lord will come. 43. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have left his house be broken into. 44. So you also. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you. The reading of God's word in that passage of scripture, once again, this afternoon, spend some time to go and read that. What you see there is the actual rapture and how it will strike. It's showing us the how the events are going to proceed. The Bible says of that hour knows no man. So it doesn't matter how intelligent people are. Doesn't matter how many degrees they have. Doesn't matter how many schools they have been to. Doesn't matter how much wisdom they have. They won't be able to determine the actual timing with accuracy, the coming of Jesus Christ. This rapture is going to come as a mystery, because it's going to take everybody by surprise. What will happen is this. The Bible says, when everybody will be taking life as usual, as it was in the time of Noah, people were drinking, people were marrying and being given in marriage, people were doing business, it was business as usual. They were signing their contracts, they were traveling abroad, they were going to school, they were reporting for work, they were doing all sorts of things. When the day for the flood started, it was a normal day. Everybody thought, well, this year the rains have come early, the rains have come earlier than last year. But people of God, those were not normal rains. It was the judgment of God. And the Bible says that day shall come where all of us, we shall have life as usual. It will be business as usual. We are going to be talking to ourselves. Well, as the Bible says, it will be like the time of Noah, where everybody was giving in marriage. You are giving your marriage vows. You are doing your business. You are signing your contracts. You are going to places. You are doing everything normally, as if it was yesterday. But when that day comes, it shall be a point of no return, because it will be too late. When the believers are going to be snatched away from this planet Earth, it shall be a point of no return. Listen to what the Bible says. When that hour is going to strike, it's a moment which nobody knows. Everyone will wake up. If it will happen during the daytime, everybody will wake up like an ordinary day. It will have nothing special. It will be like an ordinary day, as the Bible says. But what will happen is this. The Bible has said in Matthew 24, verse 36 to 42, the Bible says two people will be working together, maybe in one department. They are working together. One shall be snatched within the twinkling twinkling of an eye, which means very, very quickly. Within the twinkling of an eye, two people are seated next to each other. One is zapped. By the time you come to see, the person is not there. People will be sleeping in bed. One is taken away. The other one remains. Some people will be in the field and they are working. They just see that the handle is remaining without anybody because one has been taken away and the other one has remained. Can I put this into a drama for you? If you're going to be driven in a car on that day and a Christian is driving, within a moment, they shall be snatched off from the steering wheel. And what will happen? The car will career off the road and they'll crash all over. There'll be accidents all over. Can I tell you of flights in the air? Those of you that fly, when the pilot is the one who is a child of God, when that hour is striking, when he is in the mid-air, the plane will not be manned by anybody because the pilot will have been snatched and the co-pilot has been taken away and the plane will be crashing down. Listen, people of God, if the plane is being manned by non-Christians, at that moment they'll be flying their plane cruising at high speed, but they cannot connect to the radar so they can call pilot to tower, and there is no communication because the guy in the tower at the radar has been snatched by the power of God. So there'll be confusion. When that moment comes, it will not be a moment that is easy to tell because there will be multiple accidents. Talk of trends, when somebody has to man the communication system and all of a sudden things are jammed because the people supposed to control the communication have been ruptured. Talk of offices where people are manning some machines and so on. Some of you working in non-Christian organizations or companies where there is a mixture of people, and when you are there, all of a sudden, those of you who are believers will be snatched, and so there'll be a large number of confusions because things are going to happen so quickly and nobody will be able to explain it. And so what will happen after all those things have happened? People will be calling. Thank God for the mobile phones. Even those in the villages, they'll be calling to say, are you there? So and so has disappeared. And they call this number. Well, even here, so many people have gone. You'll be calling your friends overseas. They'll be telling you, well, even here, we had millions of people disappear last night or 2 hours ago. We can't explain it. Meanwhile, people will be calling the police, reporting their relatives missing, reporting their relatives not being home, or reporting that their workers are not in their workstations because something strange has just happened. And the police, if they happen to be the non-Christians, they'll say, well, just stay cool. We are going to be letting you know as the events are going to be proceeding. Meanwhile, it's not only your home. We are getting reports from all over the country. Meanwhile, at a global level, there shall be news on CNN that there are these events that have taken place where millions of people from all over the world have disappeared. And now they're going to say, well, stay tuned. We are going to keep you informed as the events are developing. At that moment, I want you to know it will be a major catastrophe in the world because it will be uncontrollable. It will not be a disaster which the disaster experts can be able to handle because there will be accidents all over. There will be fire because some of these things will just jam and cause fire, cause an explosion and all sorts of things. So at that point, I want to ask you a question. When the rapture is going to come, where are you going to be? Where are you going to be? You'll be up or you'll be down here? Glory to God. Take a warning this morning. The rapture is a major separation. Some of you are hearing this message and are not raptured, you'll recall. To say, oh, there was a message preached like that. Maybe this is what has happened. But I want you to know that God has a purpose for you. Today, when you hear the voice of God, you can turn your heart to Jesus. So when the rapture comes, that's why the songwriter says, when the roar is caught up yonder, will you be there? So what will happen when the rapture within the twinkling of an eye has happened? Meanwhile, before rapture comes, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, is going to be revealed in terms of being in existence. But by the time of the rapture, when the rapture has taken place, people will have a lot of problems because many of the relatives have gone and all sorts of accidents have occurred. So what's next? So the Antichrist immediately is going to come up because this man must be an intelligent person. He must be an economist. He must be a religious person who can bring religious groups together. He must be somebody who is sharp, who can be able to lead the whole entire world, a kind of a global leader or a world leader, a kind of charismatic person who is going to get everybody to rally behind him. So immediately the confusion about millions of people from across the world have disappeared. Then the Antichrist is going to show up. Mind you, before rapture, there are famines, there are earthquakes, there are disaster, there are droughts, there are diseases, and so on. And because of the increase in population, even accommodation and food become a problem. But listen to what happens. Because the millions of believers have all been raptured, there is now going to be surplus food, there are surplus cars around, there are jobs available for people, there is accommodation because some of our Christian homes will have been vacated, they will have become vacant. And so the Antichrist is going to use that as a way to hook people to say, don't worry, after all you have more food to eat, after all you have got a job, you have got a car, you have got a home, because there will be surplus resources as a result of the millions of the people going out home into glory. But guess what? It will only be temporal. Because when the Antichrist is going to show up, he is going to be so charismatic and electrifying that the people want to appreciate him. As they seek to appreciate him, he's going to want to be worshipped. And that's how during the time for the tribulation, he wants now to have the mark or the number, the 666, to be placed on people's right hand or on the forehead, so that with that number they cannot sell and they cannot buy anything, they cannot transact, you can't pay for your bills, you can't go into a bus, you can't go into a train, you can't buy your air ticket, you can't buy your tomato, because anybody who's going to be doing business must have the mark of the beast. Don't tell me you're going to have everything you need during the 7 years. It will be impossible because you can't pay your bills. You need the mark of the beast to go and pay for your electricity bill. You need the mark of the beast to go and pay for your water bill. You need the mark of the beast to do anything. So it's a perilous and very terrible time during the time for the great tribulation. But thank God that the Christians will have been raptured at that moment. They will not be on this planet Earth. And so that mark of the beast, mind you, one of the signs for the end time is that there's going to be an increase in knowledge. That increase in knowledge means that they will be able to find means and ways of how to give the mark of the beast on the palms of people or on the forehead. As I'm talking to you worldwide, there are many countries now where they are no longer using money. People are moving away from money. In Holland, next year, they said next year, they will no longer be using money to get into a bus or to get into a train. They'll only be using their cards. You must have known now that the monetary system is one of those end time events. And so people will gravitate towards having the mark of the beast because it will be difficult for people to carry money at that time. But this will be something that we're going to talk about during the time for the tribulation. So after the rapture has taken place and all the believers are in heaven, they are going to appear on what we call the Bema judgment seat of Christ. The Bema judgment seat of Christ is what will happen in heaven. So next week, Sunday, we'll be up in heaven discussing what the Christians are doing once they've arrived there. Amen. God bless you. Maybe I might pause for just 5 minutes and ask for questions. Exactly 5 minutes. If you have any question about what we have covered on rapture or the signs before the end, I'll give you 5 minutes in case you've got any questions, and then we'll close the meeting.
My name is Marvin, and my question is basically on the statement which says that our believers won't be charged together with non-believers. Now, when we read in the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Jesus Christ on Matthew chapter 13, where he gives an illustration of the parable of the net. So, what is really the difference there?
What verse is that?
Matthew chapter 13.
Okay. The parable of the what? The net.
Of the net.
The nets.
Yes.
Okay. When you talk about believers, sometimes look at the current suffering as a type of tribulation. Now, the tribulation that we're talking about between now and rapture is a judgment of God, not where you are being persecuted by non-Christians. That's not what we're talking about. Christians get to go through pain because of the devil, because of spiritual warfare. But the tribulation where God is going to snatch his people out is the tribulation which is the judgment of God. So where God is the one judging people, punishing people, that is what God is delivering his people from. That is the judgment of God upon the non-believers.
Pastor, I have two issues. The one in Luke 17, verse 32. Remember Lot, his wife. I have a problem there that here is Lot fearing the Lord, and he has his wife who couldn't believe what was happening. What could have been the problem with Lot, his wife? And then there's the question of the 280 languages you've said haven't been put in the Bible yet. So are we looking for a grace period of 200 more years?
Let me just answer the first question and the second question later. The first question, what happened to Lot's wife? Lot's wife is an example of backsliding. If backsliding is about you turning back to where you started from, it's like a dog going back to its vomit. It's like a pig going back to wash in its date, where it has already picked up the date. So the problem of Lot's wife is the problem of belief. If you doubt, that's why the Bible says any doubting person is unstable. It's like a pendulum swinging. And if any of you is going to be found doubting at that hour, you'll be left behind. This is why the Bible says any doubting person is unstable in all his ways. The problem of Lot's wife was a problem of belief. She kept thinking about her life in Sodom and Gomorrah. Mind you, even the children of Israel, when they were going to the promised land, some of them began thinking about Egypt. There were better graveyards. There were cucumbers. There were melons. There were garlics there. There were homes there. In other words, they said, well, what's the point being in a desert if you can't have water? And we had water. We were suffering in Egypt, but that was better than being here. So if there's going to be a bit of a sacrifice as a Christian, and some people think, well, it's better in the world than it is to become Christians, they won't be part of the salvation of God. They won't be part of the salvation of God. This is why the Bible says, when the master comes, are you going to be faithful? When the bridegroom was coming, he only attended to the people whose lamps had oil. That's a symbol of an anointing. In other words, is your lamp still burning? If the glow of your faith, if the light of God in your life is going to grow dim by the coming of Jesus, you miss the rapture. Because when the bridegroom was coming, only those with oil in their lamps were the ones who received the bridegroom. So don't backslide. The other question.
You said 280 about the language.
Yes. This is statistic. That 280 languages in the world have not received the Bible in their language as yet. If we follow the current way of interpreting the Bible, it will take more than 200 years to finish that. I'm not saying or suggesting that there's going to be a grace period of that number of years before the Lord's return. Rapture is going to be quick and sudden. It can come before you get out of this building. But what the preparation of the Bible in those languages is not necessarily having to print the Bible in those languages. The Bible says the gospel must be preached to the people before the end of time. Not necessarily printing, but the Bible says the gospel must be preached to the people, to everybody, before the close of the age. The good news is that with technology, there are now a number of Bible versions in audio format. So even if you don't know how to read, you can still hear the voice of God. So there are many Bibles now that are coming up in audio form.
Pastor, you talked about the prophets, the false ones. Will they go to heaven or they will go to hell? Those ones who are performing the wonders to the people.
The what? Sorry, I missed it. Can you repeat your question, please?
You talked about the false prophets who are performing wonders, miracles to the people. Will they go to heaven or they will go to hell?
False prophets and teachers that don't believe the true word of the Almighty God will not get to heaven. False prophets are not part of the rapture. These are people who are going to be used by the devil to mislead people so that they can abandon their faith using their wonders. They can use demonic powers to perform miracles, to heal the sick, to raise the dead. They're going to be competing with the true Christian prophets, with the true prophets of God, in order to sway people's faith away from God. They are not going to be preaching the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. So there's no place for them in heaven. I'm not judging them, but there's no place for a false prophet who's going to be misleading people out here and all of a sudden is going to be finding his place in the kingdom of God. Okay, maybe three more questions and we'll close because of time.
I look at all the signs and basically everything is already happening. The one thing that is definitely happening is Israel is definitely turning back to Jesus Christ and accepting him. The numbers I don't know yet, but all the other signs is already taking place. Am I right if I say that it's close that we might think? And the other thing is also technology. If you look at television, television goes into Iran and Saudi Arabian countries, and the word of God is being preached all over. Are we closer than what we might think?
Sure. We can't be any closer now than at any time in history. I must not be able to cause fear into your bones this morning, but the truth of the matter is that the signs, the writings are on the wall. If you look at the signs now, they are much closer to the fulfillment than any time in history. And the preaching of the gospel is now penetrating in those areas where it has never been preached before. There is a greater church in China right now. It is in the underground. But as I'm talking to you, there are more than 1.2 million Christians in China. There are good and strong believers in Iraq and Iran and in Turkmenistan, in Kazakhstan, and in those areas that the gospel was blocked in the years past in Russia. Now the doors have been opened. When we are talking about the preaching of the gospel, although the gospel may not be printed in the language in which the people, mind you, there are still people who can't read. But the gospel is being preached to them. So, yes, now we are much closer than any time in history. With technology, the increase in knowledge, the increase in disasters, the increase in problems, the increase in calamities, and the way countries are working together, making alliances, is a pointer. SADC is becoming closer and much more united. If you see, the African Union is getting closer. They want to have a president for African Union. Currency is being consolidated to make one currency between Zambia and Mozambique. If you read your news or you listen to your news, that Zambia has already signed a protocol with Mozambique to make our Zambian currency and the Mozambican metcash a legal tender in either country. There is the European currency, the euro, is now legal tender for more than 10 countries there. That is a pointer that the monetary system is already moving speedily to the close of the age. And once that happens, ladies and gentlemen, it won't be long from now when the Lord is going to come. The fact that you see the world getting into all these bigger groupings, what will happen is that it is easy to form one global army, which is going to fight God at the Battle of Armageddon. At the Battle of Armageddon, it is all the armies of this world working together, like the UN peacekeeping force. Now it will be a UN army that will be going to be rallied to fight the armies of God. That's what is going to happen. The Armageddon is not Third World War, nation against nation. It is the armies of this world against the armies of God. But God is going to overcome, bind the devil, drop him in the bottomless pit, and usher in the millennial reign of 1,000 years. Thank you very much. God bless you. We'll end here. You can do the attacker for me. Thank you.